Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning. I think it's this morning or this afternoon. Well, it's still morning. let's turn to two openings quickly. I wanted to just go over this for some that may have been with us and some that haven't. But go to James 3. We're going to look at the first few verses in James 3, and then also Proverbs 18 and verses 20 and 21. And we're just going to quickly review this, just quickly look at these particular two scriptures. And then we'll add to today. Now I'm going to read from the King James Version, and you can follow along in whatever translation you have. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." That just means we shouldn't all be teachers. Verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word," say not in word. "The same is a perfect man." That just means, it doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It just means you're a mature person. You've come to a place of maturity. And it says, "And able also to bridle the whole," this says the same as a perfect man, "and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body." See, it uses that term again, whole body. Talks about us being able to control our whole body or bridle it and bridle the whole body of a horse with a little bit. And then it talks about a ship, though it be so great, driven fierce winds, yet are they turned about with what? A very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. That means the one who's running the boat decides where it's going to go. That's like you. You decide. Not your circumstances, because this says here, there's a lot of fierce winds going, but the governor decides where we're going. Even in the fierce winds, that little rudder steers the ship. Verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And I'd like to just point out, this says here, hell can inspire the tongue.
Yes.
And it can defile the whole body. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd also like to say heaven can inspire my tongue.
Amen.
Heaven inspires my tongue. Verse 7, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame." That just means you can't tame my tongue. I can't tame your tongue, but you certainly can control your own tongue. "It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Well, the answer is no. "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries?" No. "Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So what is that saying? You cannot say or decree negative and expect positive.
Amen.
You can't curse something and expect blessing. Thus, here's the exciting thing. You can't bless and expect to be cursed or expect negative things to rule and reign. They may come, but this is what we're going to talk about today. You can decree a thing. And I can decree what God says and expect it to be. Amen. So the negative or death-filled words, in other words, can produce good, cannot produce good or life. So negative and death-filled words can't produce good. So this says here, when you look at this here, in verse 2, let me read this here from the NIV. It says, "We all stumble in many ways." This is James 3:2. It says, "If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." The New Living Translation, it says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every way." That's interesting. So that means my tongue can control the, I'll say it another way, if I can control something, then can I control or change habits? Oh, yes. Absolutely. Can I control or change an addiction to something? This is saying here, if my mouth or tongue can defile the whole body, then I can change something. I can control that. Amen. And that's what we're saying here. So let's go over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And verse 20. Give you a second to get there. It says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." How are you going to be filled? Increase of what? Your lips. So in order for increase to come, there has to be something that's going to happen where your mouth is concerned. So if you want an increase in an area of your life, I liked what years ago we used to have we had a gentleman, a minister here by the name of Bob Harrison. And he said this, I thought it was I never forgot it. He said, "Where there's lack, there's slack." And I thought, well, that's true. So if you're lacking in an area, or you could say lacking, you're slacking. You're slacking in something. If you're lacking a good weight, that means maybe you ain't exercising. You're slacking. You know, I mean, there's just some principles, natural and spiritual. So we have to apply speaking. So increase is going to come from what? It says here, increase of the fruit of your lips shall you be filled. Verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." That means you're going to eat the fruit of death or life by the fruit of your lips. And I like here what this says here in verse 20. It says, "A man's belly shall be." Shall be is future tense. So that means something has to happen before I possess. Shall be means that something is before the receiving. So this here means that I've got to confess something before I possess it.
Amen.
Amen. So you've got to talk increase. You got to speak increase. I like some of these translations. The Message, it says, "Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose." So we have to choose. And I shared, I believe it was last week, I shared about some of these stories that a Charles Capps. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he used to share, this is some memories that I have back in the early 80s, of him speaking at the Kenneth Copeland Crusades and how he applied his words and applied this principle in natural things and how he possessed healing in certain areas. And I'll share it again. He said he liked to hunt. He'd go into the woods, and he would get loaded with poison ivy. And he'd go to the store, get the calamine lotion, put it all over him. But he said, I began to speak to my body and say, my body is healed of poison ivy. Every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. He got the life of God's word in his spirit, and it began to push out and change the cells in his body. So his body began to reject what? The curse. It began to reject the curse. And so he said it took 6-8 months or longer. But he said it got to the point where he would go into the woods and he'd grab poison ivy vines, strip it down, no side effects. And so this is the area where we begin to apply the word of God. It may not be that. Maybe you don't like to hunt. Maybe you like to shop. Oh. You could say, God always leads me to the best deals. God always leads me. I'll tell you some stories where just me, I was sitting in my office one day and the Lord said, go over to Men's Warehouse. And I go, I don't want to go over there. I don't want to buy anything. And I kept fussing. Finally, I went over there and I came in and the person said, we're having a sale, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, okay. You know, I played along, as they say, right? And the guy pulled off this suit coat or this jacket. It was a cashmere jacket, $800 and some, and it was on sale for $100. I said, I'll take it. I wasn't looking to shop. I didn't want to shop. But God will bring the best to you, and you don't have to do what? Waste your time. He'll just tell you, go over here, get this. They've got just exactly what you like. See? And that's what I'm talking about. He'll bring you to the best car. He'll bring you to the best house. He'll bring you to the best friends. He'll bring you to the best that will bless you. And they won't be a headache. See, I read something recently in Charles Catt, one of his books. He said, you know, you can call things in. You know, he said one time, he said, this person kept calling in, I want this house. I called in, and he said he got it. So he got the house, but he didn't call in the money to support it. So he said, when you begin to believe God for some things, don't just believe for that thing, but you better believe for the funds and money to support it and to run it and own it. Right? So sometimes, he said, our faith needs to be developed a little bit. See, we're just in this one dimension here, right? So, again, your economic recovery, if you want an economic recovery, it's in your mouth. No more down slow days. Never say, I can't. I can't live on this. I can't afford this. You know, one thing is, I heard a minister say this, and I thought it's appropriate. He said, get the word I need out of your mouth. I need, I need, I need, I need. Because he said, if you keep saying that, your faith will be in your need. Not in the promise. And I thought that was a good thing. You know, I need, no. You already have. You're blessed. So we need to talk increase. Now, Mark 11:23, wanted to just touch this on this here. Let's turn over there just for a moment. We're talking about decreeing a thing, and we're going to get to Job 22 in a minute. But Mark 11:23, and of course, we look at Jesus' life, and the one thing that is strong in me is that we've been made, Genesis 1:27, we've been made in the image and likeness of God. And we are a spirit. God is a spirit. We are a spirit. We are a speaking spirit made in the image and likeness of God. Now, we're not speaking worlds into existence, but what we do speak and believe, we create. Amen. And so this is where it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You will create what you believe and speak, good or bad. So Mark 11:23, Jesus is talking about faith. And he says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," that includes us, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that the things, those things that you're saying, shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth." I like the Johnson translation. It says, "Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, 'Dump yourself in the lake,' and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement." That's exactly what we were saying before. You cannot become separated. Your words cannot become separated from what you believe. If they do, you won't actualize. You won't experience what you're saying. You won't get it. That's another way of saying it, right? So, again, Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." So here's our key to success right here. Meditating in the Word of God, letting it not depart, what? Out of my mouth, meditating on it day and night. This is a process. But it shall come to pass. Let me share this. When it comes to speaking, what you say, well, let's turn for a second over to James. Let's look at James for a minute. James chapter 2. And we're going to jump over here for a second. James 2. And if you look at, I believe it's verse 17, James 2:17. Let me just get there for a minute. James 2:17 and 26, it says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So there has to be a corresponding action. There has to be an action. If I believe something, then I'm going to do something. And verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So another way to say this is that your faith will never rise any higher than your confession. Or you could say this, your confession is the sealing to your faith. In other words, your faith will never be any higher or rise any higher than what you say. Because what you say is what you believe. So if you don't say it, that's the corresponding action. Faith without an action is dead. So your faith level will never rise any higher than what you say. You could believe it. How many have received Christ by just believing? None. The devil's believed. But they're not going to heaven because they're not confessing Jesus. So what you believe, what is you're going to have to say in order for the power of God to be released. The word has the power in it to bring to pass what it says. So without saying it, you're not releasing God's ability in that situation. So your faith is never going to be released by just believing it. It's got to be spoken. It's got to be released through your words. And then God's ability is released. So your faith will never rise any higher than your confession, what you say. Now let's go over to Job. Actually, I'll tell you what. Go to Luke first. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, 38. And I want to just take a few moments and let's look at a few accounts here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 38. In 39, it says, "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house." And you could say Simon Peter. Simon Peter's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her. Can you get the picture? And he did what? He rebuked the fever, and it what? It left her. It left her. So let me ask the question. It responded to some words spoken, right? It left her. So the fever heard the words and responded. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So let me ask this question. If a fever is spoken to and it left, do you think faith-filled words spoken to high blood pressure or cancer will cause it to leave? I believe Jesus said that in Mark 11, 23, didn't he? He said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain," you got to say it, "and believe in your heart, doubt not, it shall come to pass." One of the things that we sometimes... What does it say in Proverbs? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he might direct." He'll direct your paths. He will direct your paths. So that to me is stop trying to figure out how to get to the destination. Stop trying to figure that out. Just confess and speak to your body. Call it healed, call it whole, speak to it, speak the promises of God, and let the Holy Spirit direct you in the path. Some, he may say, go to the doctor. Others, he may say, lose some weight. Some others, he may say, change your diet. Forget the methods. Just speak to your body. Speak to your finances. Begin to call your bank accounts full. And God will show you and reveal to you, he'll say, pick up the phone and call this person over here. You heard Reverend Marty when he was here. He began to trust God for a house. Somebody called him on the phone and said, hey, I've got this business opportunity. See, don't try to figure out how to get something. Just claim it, speak it, and he will open the doors and do what? Cause it to come to pass. Amen. I'm learning that more and more. Stop trying to figure it out. Just release faith-filled words. Call my bank accounts filled, running over. Begin to claim that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't want for any good thing. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. What does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things not seen. Well, if you are walking in in the natural, something that you don't have, that's the time to use your faith. That's the time to release faith. You know, it's funny. Charles Capps used to use this, and it really is a funny, you know, we get stuck on things, but he always used to say this, when you go to the door and you want to call the dog, well, I don't call dogs, he's not there. Right, call the dog. If you want the dog to come home, call the dog. You know, we as a kid, we had a dog, we'd go to the door, come on home, food, and the dog would come a-running. So what would I do? Close it. Oh, he's not here. I guess, you know, you're not here. Go back in the house. Isn't that silly? We do natural things, but then when it comes to spiritual applications, we just fuzz out. We do silly things. We'd say, oh, no, I can't speak to my body because it's not healed. Right! Exactly. Call those things that be not as though they were. My body is healed. My body's strong. When do you say that? When it's not. Hallelujah. When do you call for prosperity? When your bank accounts don't look full. Huh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're learning this. Amen. Glory to God. Think about this. These are some scriptures I just wrote down. 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, the first Adam, as it is written, the first Adam was a living soul, and the last Adam was a quickening spirit. I'll tell you, when I saw that word quickening, I said, the quickener lives in me. The quickener lives in me. The same spirit that raised Christ's dead body from the grave dwells in me, and he's quickening my mortal body. The quickener lives in me. And he will quicken the words that I speak. He will quicken them. He will infuse his life, the quickening life of God. When I speak in faith, they're quickened. Oh, yes. And they will change things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They'll change your finances, change your marriage, change your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let me just read this. You don't need to turn there because I want to look at a few other scriptures of Jesus' life. Job 22:28, and thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Let me read a few translations here. The NIV of that, it says, what you decide on will be done. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What you decide on will be done, and the light will shine on your ways. The Young's Little translation, it says, and thou decreest a saying, and it is established to thee, and on thy ways hath light shone. Hallelujah. Just think about this. When it says, you shall decide on a thing, what happened to the children of Israel? God had said, go in and take the land. It's yours. And they kept saying, how would you have liked to have been Joshua and Caleb with that group? And they kept saying, we're just going to die in the wilderness. And it got to the point where God said, I am going to give you what you said. You will die in the wilderness. So God has said, you are healed because of what Christ did. You are blessed because of what Christ did. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon who? The children, the seed of Abraham. We overcome, Revelations 12, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So we need to take stock of this tongue that we have. Hallelujah. Think about some other scriptures here, just come bubble up here. These things that we're talking about, everything that God does, it revolves, Genesis 8:22, revolves around what? Seed time and harvest. Galatians, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So seed time and harvest, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak, what you sow with your mouth, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So one thing I wanted to look at here, we're talking about God. He sent his son, and I believe in Hebrews it says, in the second or third verse, it says, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he came in the likeness of a human being. But he was God. But he was in the likeness of us. He was sinless. And so here, God, and that's where it said, the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was a quickening spirit. So here, Jesus, throughout his whole ministry, he laid aside, I like some of the translations in Philippians, it says that he laid aside his godlike or divine privileges and he operated as a man. So his whole life was showing us how we could operate like him. And that's what he did. Matthew 21:21, it's the same similar to Mark 11:23. But I like this particular scripture verse. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith. See, some people will say, but that was Jesus who did that. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus spoke to the winds. Jesus spoke to this person and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. But Jesus laid aside his privileges as God and operated as a man. And so here he said, if you have faith, not God, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So Jesus is saying they could do what he just did. That's what he's saying. Amen. So look at Mark 2. You can see here just a few accounts. We know Jesus spoke to the dead body of Lazarus. But Mark 2, these accounts here, these are just some, but you could go through and look at others. Mark 2, it says here, this was the man sick of the palsy. And what did he do? He couldn't get in the house, so what did they do? They uncovered the roof, lowered him. Jesus saw his faith, the faith of them. And what did he say? He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So he spoke. He released faith. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And what did he do? He go on to say in verse 9, he said, and of course he's speaking to the scribes and so forth. He knew they were reasoning in their hearts. So he began, he said here, what in verse 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has what? Hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house. So, for us, we need to speak and believe. Decree a thing. Hallelujah. What did Peter and John do coming into the temple? The man said, you know, do you have something to give me? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What else did he say? But such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He decreed. He spoke and decreed a thing, and it was. But it's got to be in faith. Amen. What did Jesus do? I'm trying to think, this is in, I think it's Matthew, but anyways, another account. What did Jesus do with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He had them sit down. He did what? He looked up to heaven. He took them. He blessed them. He broke them. He handed them out. And they distributed, and it said they all ate, and what? They were filled. And then they gathered up, and what did they do? It says there were 5,000 beside men and women. So he spoke and blessed it. What are you blessing, and what are you cursing? You know, I heard a story from a person that used to work here years ago. He was on staff, on the maintenance staff, and he went out, he went down to Christ for the Nations. And he was sharing, he now owns the cafeteria business down there. But he was sharing that one of the ministries that he supports, he said that this is in a foreign country. And he said, I don't remember if it was Nigeria or one of these African countries, where the country could not support the people feeding them anymore. So they said, send them over there. They're feeding. So in other words, they were feeding 20,000 or whatever it was, right? And so they were making food and distributing it. And they said, send them over to those people. And they began, and they took on another 50, I think he said it was like 50,000. Some high number. And he said they blessed the food and they kept dishing it out and 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 dishing it out. This is what I'm talking about. Not, we can't do that. We don't have enough. They blessed it and distributed it. And I believe those things are for us today. You may not be in the food distribution, but you may be looking to have your bank accounts full so that you can do what? Not consume it on your own lust, but help support other ministries. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. So, in concluding, what we're saying here is that our words have more effect in our life. The words that we speak have more impact, have more effect than even God.
Amen.
Your words that you speak have more impact, have more effect than even God. God has decreed that we're all healed through his Son. God has said every man has been redeemed. But they have to believe it and speak it in order for that to become activated in their life. So your words have more power, more effect in your life than even God. And so it's something that we need to keep in mind, that when we say, you know, I'm just asking God to bless me. He's already blessed you. He's put in your ability to speak the power of God and to release his power through your lips. So he's waiting. What does the scripture say? Let me just close with this scripture. Go to Matthew 16. It says, let me get over there. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. It says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," he's not talking about Peter being the rock. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." So whatever you bind on earth, heaven is there to back you up. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's no different. How many in here are either active or have been active law enforcement? How many in here? You don't want to raise your hand, that's fine. I'm not trying to out you. But if you were in law enforcement, you took an oath at some point to do what? Uphold the laws, right? And to do what? Enforce them. And I gave you what? A badge and a uniform so they could recognize you. And I gave you, you might have had a gun, maybe you didn't, but you may have had a gun to help enforce, and all the tools. But the point is, at some point, what did they do? They sent you out into the field to enforce the laws. Now, when you came up against someone that you had to do enforce, did you just sit there and go, "They don't want to obey me. I don't know. I can't." You're a wuss. And you're an embarrassment to the shield and an embarrassment to the oath that you took. Because they charged you and gave you authority to enforce that, and they did what? They back you up. So whatever you bind on earth, heaven is there to support and be behind that. So heaven is waiting on us to exercise what God has authorized us to do. We are the body of Christ. We need to take what's ours. Enforce. That's what when it says in John, I believe it's John 14, it says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That word ask means to demand or require. We are requiring and demanding that the promises of God be enforced. We're not demanding of God. We're demanding the situation to change. And this says here that Jesus said, "That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Hallelujah. One thing, some thought that came into my mind here. Turn over to Deuteronomy for a second. Deuteronomy 28. And this is familiar, these first 15 verses. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse, but we were never redeemed from the blessings. The blessings are ours. We were redeemed from the curse. So Deuteronomy 28. And this first verse is, I find interesting. It says here, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the earth, above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then it goes on and it begins to list all of the blessings. But I took the time to look up this word hearken and diligently. It's very interesting, because remember I said Scripture should support Scripture, should interpret Scripture. If you look up this word hearken in the Hebrew, and just look it up in a Hebrew dictionary, it means to be obedient. There's three areas it talks about. It says to hear intelligently, to hear with attention or interest, listen to understand. It says to be obedient. These are all the same. To obey, be obedient. It also says to declare. It says to declare, to cause, to hear, to tell, to proclaim, to utter a sound, to make proclamation. So when this says here, hearken diligently, part of this is similar exactly what Joshua 1:8 said. Meditate in these scriptures. Don't let these words depart out of thy mouth. So this word hearken means to proclaim. It means to speak the promises of God. And so he was telling them in Deuteronomy, he was telling them to get the word of God in their mouths. That's what he's telling us to do here. Get the word of God in our mouths, believe it, and speak it. Speak it. Hallelujah. And it will change. It'll change the course and destiny of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if that excites you, but it does me. If there's an area in your life that needs change, that needs correction, You may be saying, there's no way I could ever have this or attain this. There's no way, the doctors have said, there's no way this can change. My Bible said that he's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Let him have the final say-so. We were teaching on Wednesday that when you saw David and Goliath, there was a war of words. Goliath said something, David said something. Goliath said something, David said something. Same thing with Jesus. When he came out of the wilderness and he is hungered, and then he was tempted by the devil said something, Jesus said something. The devil said something, and Jesus said something. Don't let circumstances have the last say in your life. Let the word fill your heart, and you have, and let God have, and his promises have, the last say. Have the final say in a circumstance. Don't, you've heard other ministers say this, don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. Don't face your mountain with your mouth closed. Speak to the mountain, and it shall be cast into the sea. And stop trying to figure out how that'll be. Just speak to it. Fill your heart with faith. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is going to bring to pass. If he has shown you something in your life, you know, I've learned this. If he's shown something or put something in your heart or stirred your heart in an area, look, you may have gotten off course. You may have gotten sidetracked. Something may have caught you by surprise. But if you will speak and keep speaking, how would you like to have been Joshua and Caleb? Wandering around the desert for 40 years with a bunch of folks that are just negative, 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 grumble, grumble, grumble. He kept his faith stirred and active. And I like this, you know, when you look at, go over in Joshua right from the beginning and go through, and you can see how Joshua kept them focused. And God said he's going to work through them. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. So I don't care what that situation looks like. You take hold of the word of God and you do not say anything else. I don't care what it looks like. The doctors may say this, or somebody may say whatever, or your family life may look like it will never change. Now, you can't change a person. You can't override their will. But you can certainly begin to pray for them and begin to ask God to send the perfect labor. You can begin to pray and ask God to open the eyes of their understanding. I'm telling you right now, it's changing. It's changing. This whole area is changing. This county's changing. We have access. I decree this. We have access into the Jewish community. This is God's seed. We have access in. How? I don't know. But God is opening doors for us to reach them. God is opening doors for us to reach the youth in this county. God is opening the doors. And I'm making myself available. I decree that my bank accounts are full. I decree that my body's strong to run this race. I decree that there's no weakness in my body. I'm strong. stronger every day. I decree that my mind is sharp and bright and quick, and I know what to do. I'm not in lack, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, I shall not lack for any good thing. I don't care what goes on in society. What does it say? The government may take everything you have. But I'm telling you right now, the blessings of God are mine. I was reading something the other day. I forget it was in whose book it was in, but they were describing P.C. Nelson, a Greek scholar. And he said that in the Greek, I forget what scripture it was, I believe it was, what scripture, but he said, whatever you decree and confess, he said in the Greek it says it like this: if God doesn't have it, he will make it for you. He said, that's the way it says it in the Greek. If it doesn't exist, he will make it. Amen, amen. Oh, yes. Yes, so yeah, it may not look like, and it may not exist. He will make it come to pass. It may not look like you will ever have something, but I decree that I have it. Because faith decrees and calls those things that be not as though they were. I decree. Make a list of the things that you don't have and begin to decree, I have it, 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 I have it. I have it. I have strength. I have brightness of mind. I have, my bank accounts are full. My cupboards are full. Begin to decree, all my children serve God and serve the Lord. If you've got family members, you say, my husband serves the Lord. My wife serves the Lord. My children serve the Lord. Begin to decree it and say it. And don't get off it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if they're acting the fool. You decree that it shall be. And it shall be. Because whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed. I say, my family serves the Lord. I say, not the circumstance. See, because the war of words are going to go back and forth. People are going to say, I don't want to serve your God. You know, you look at some of the people that I remember. I was out at a call to arms a few years ago, which is a men's event at Rhema. And they had a speaker, and I said, boy, he looks familiar, but I didn't recognize who it was. And I just Googled, you know, we all Google everything, right? So I look up, and I said, oh, huh. So he was all, you know, he was all dressed up with his big black horned rim glasses and all his chains and kind of stuff and blingy, right? And I said, oh, okay, that's who that is. It's Katy Perry's father. Holy Ghost filled, Pentecostal preacher for 40 years, still preaching the word of God. And their daughter's acting just off in left field somewhere. But they decree. And I was reading an article recently about her mother, and she said, you know, people are saying, well, you know, yeah, how could you raise a daughter? You know, people are just fools. You know, how could you raise your daughter like that? And how could you bop, 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 and this and that and the other thing, right? And she said it has been hard sometimes on the flesh and the soul because of the comments. But she said, I hold on to and decree the word of God that my children will serve God. Yes, yes. And what do they do in the interim? Love and not cut off, talk, love. And she said, you know, in this article, she said recently she called, wanted prayer for something, and they pray and they love and they support her. Even when you act in the fool. Even when. So their heart and their mouth are saying, my daughter serves God. See, I'm telling you, it has to come to pass. Otherwise, God's word is not true. And he said, it shall be done if I believe and say, and I decree. So if I decree a thing, what did Job say? It shall be established. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like just throwing the towel in, when you feel like, you know how we get sometimes? Is, that's the time that you turn that switch of faith on and just say, you know what? I decree that I'm blessed. I decree whatever it is the pressure is against, you decree it. Say, no. I'm blessed of God. I'm highly favored. Everybody and their brother may be against you on your job. They may say whatever they may want to say. They may fight and come against you. Walk in love and begin to decree and speak and say. I don't care if you own your own business. Don't decree lack. You say, what does it say? Faith calls those things that be not. If you want more customers, decree it. And God will show you how. He'll give you the methods. Amen. But let's just obey God and do. Faith, say it, faith without works is dead. So I can't just believe it. I've got to believe it and say it. It's got to be in both places, otherwise it doesn't work. Amen. Glory to God. These principles, I'm going to tell you, these things I work almost, and I say almost, there may be a day here or there, but almost, I would say, 99.9% of the time, every day, I'm speaking something, I'm decreeing something, I'm saying something, I'm stirring my heart up, I'm saying it, till my heart is stirred. Do sometimes I want to say it? No. Do I feel like it? No. The flesh is fighting all the time. But you begin to say it and say it and say it and say it, and then turn around and laugh. Say, ha, 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 I've got it. And just laugh. Just laugh. Laugh at your circumstances. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everything that God has destined for this ministry to fulfill shall be done. I don't care what it looks like. Everything that God has designed and ordained and authorized. You know, ministries have certain assignments. But whatever this ministry has been assigned to do, shall be fulfilled. And you keep decreeing it and saying it and saying it and saying it shall come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you got a little something. I'm not trying to pump you up, but just share the word of God. Let it get down in your heart and let it stir your heart. If it's not stirring your heart, meditate on it some more. Say it. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, you can speak yourself into faith. You may not believe it at first. Keep speaking it. Faith comes. Just as he used to say, school yourself. Speak yourself into faith. But say it. Keep saying it, and you'll believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are overcomers in this life. We thank you that we are bright. We are strengthened by your spirit in our inner man. We thank you that everything that we touch and do is blessed. We thank you that we come behind in no good thing. We thank you that our bodies are strong and healed. We thank you that we reject and we rebuke sickness and disease in our bodies. We decree every tissue, every organ of our bodies function in the perfection that you made them to function in. We decree that every tissue, every organ functions normally. We decree that our livers and our organs and our heart, our kidneys, everything functions normally in the name of Jesus. We decree that our blood pressure is normal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We decree it. We say so. And we decree, Father, what you said, and we thank you that the words of our mouth shall be established. We thank you, Father, that we're strong. We're not weak, and we thank you that our minds are sharp. We thank you that we're bright, and we thank you that the solutions to things that we face in this life, we thank you that we know what to do, because the greater one lives in us, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to say this because I know, you know, we have a lot of individuals in this room that may, I'm not saying you are, be conscious of how you use present and past tense verbs. It's one thing to say, I had this. It's another thing to say, I have this. You could say, I did lack, but I'm blessed. Don't say, I lack, because you're making it present tense. You could say, I was sick. I'm not, you don't say, I am sick. I am healed. I'm blessed.
Hallelujah.
But what I was saying was, you may be in this room and you may be on what I would call, you're retired and maybe you live on a fixed income. There's nothing fixed with God. He said, if I bring my tithe into the storehouse, he would open up the windows, of heaven and pour out a blessing you can hardly contain. That doesn't sound fixed to me. It doesn't sound fixed. What am I saying? It's not limited. You're not limited. God is not limited. And so the bottom line is, if that's you and you're in that condition, begin to decree. I don't live on a limited income. I have a supernatural God. I bring my tithes into the storehouse, and the windows of heaven are open unto me. And blessing, my bank accounts are full. They're running over. Stop trying to figure out. Too many people are saying, I can't live here anymore because it's too expensive. Well, then it will be for you. No one's saying that someone shouldn't relocate. If God tells you to go, then you go. But you trust God and begin to speak and speak and speak and let God open doors to bless you. I remember a story, I forget how I heard it, but this woman was in her 70s or 80s, and God gave her an idea, one idea, and she made multi-millions, and she was in her 70s or 80s. And she ended up with a staff of, I don't know, 50 or 100 people working for her. No, we don't serve a limited God. You're not limited. Yeah, you may be retired from corporate America or whatever, but I'm not retired from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope this helps somebody. Glory to God.